One of the things that the Lord taught, left for us to do in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, going to all the world and preach the gospel, and that, and Luke, and Mark, he said, to every creature. So, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. We'll be trying to speak this morning out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the reason for 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going through the book of 2 Timothy, and we have come down to this in our teaching. So I say that a church of the Lord Jesus Christ has really got three missions in the world. That's to preach the gospel to every creature, baptize believers, and teach Christians all things that the Lord commanded them. Now, I'm not a very good teacher, but I'm going to give it a stab. So you pray for me as we go into this. And all of you know that Paul, writing to Timothy, the young preacher Timothy, Paul was training him up, and Paul was training him to be a help to the churches. Now, I think, you don't have to believe this, I think he sent Timothy to pastor for a while at Corinth, for a while at Philippi. And if you read the books that Paul wrote in the Bible, you will see on several of them, he said, I'm sending Timothy to you. So when he's come to you, I want you to treat him like you treat me. But he is instructing Timothy how to preach and how to teach the things of God. And isn't it wonderful? Now, I think, you don't have to agree with this either, I think that when Jesus left to go back to heaven, he equipped the apostles to teach and to preach his word.
Amen.
I think not only did he give them the responsibility, but he gave them the authority.
Amen.
And I just noticed when the church had a little trouble with Peter going down and preaching to Cornelius, they called the church together. They didn't call the Pope together. They called the church together. And they examined him why he went down there. And Peter, of course, Peter gave them that God directed me and let the sheep down. You know the story. So James and the apostles said, well, then hath God turned the gospel to the Gentiles. What a blessing. What a blessing that God had turned the gospel to us. Now, you know, Jesus Christ came and he said, when he sent out the 12 and then the 70, he said, don't go to any place but the house of Israel. He said, for to them am I sent. And so I think when Israel turned him down three times, turned him down once when he was going through the land, turned him down again when he rode the ash down the street, and they certainly turned him down when they said, crucify him. And he got up the third day, and what a blessing. He called them apostles, he said, now go and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't that a blessing? God let us in.
Amen.
When Jesus was preaching to to Israel, the Syrophoenician woman came up and she said, Lord, my daughter is grievously affected by the devil. And he answered her not a word. And she kept on, Lord, Lord. And he said, it's not meet for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Now, she didn't get mad and say, I got my civil rights and I'm a-leaving. She said, yay, Lord. You're right, Lord, I'm a dog.
Come on.
But the dogs beg the crumbs from the children's table. And that faith statement of hers, he said, you can have what you want. So he did. He did now. But he was sent to Israel. But when they turned him down, the gospel could go to everybody. And he left the apostles with the authority to teach his people. And isn't it ironic that when we look at church doctrine today in the King James Bible,
yeah.
I hope that's the only one you use,
Amen.
That the same apostles leave us their thoughts on what to do.
Right.
Peter left us some thoughts. James left us some thoughts. Jude left us some thoughts. And Paul just wrote 13 or 14 books over how you feel about it. Isn't that good?
Amen.
See? And all right. So we will be we'll be looking at some passages in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm sorry, visitors, but I got down to verse 11 last week. So that's where I'll attempt to take off this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, he is affirming to Timothy that a new birth killed you out to the world. I told the brothers this morning, I said, I tell all young Christians that come to me, lets me talk to them, I said, if you got born again, God forgot what you used to be. But the devil didn't. And so he is going to give you a warfare. And so Paul is mentioning here that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's a good positive statement. I don't see any falling grace doctrine in that, do you? Okay? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, that's not a falling grace doctrine. He will deny rewards. He will deny rewards if we deny him, if we're saved. Are you okay with that? All right. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. I like that. I like that. God in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that good?
Yes.
He cannot deny himself. See? And I mean, we can just be, the devil can just take us all over Fool's Hill as a Christian, but, you know, Jesus cannot deny himself. See? One fellow said, well, how do you people know that you're saved? I said, well, there's several ways, but the one I cling to mostly myself is found in Romans chapter 8. If heirs, then children. See, he said in Romans chapter 8. So his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I tell everybody, don't trust nothing but that. We got so many religions in the world today, and they got some hot shot rooster up there telling them what to do, and they go to him and he assures them they're okay. My old preacher used to preach, and he was a country preacher, and he preached hell and fire and brimstone and forked lightning every time. He said, can you imagine the popes when they get into hell and all of their adherents come to them and said, Father, we thought you had us in heaven. Said, can you imagine what kind of consternation that will be? Can you imagine what kind of disappointment that will be? So do not let men affirm you. That's okay to have a good, it's okay to feel good at a good preaching service. That's good. That's fine. But the Holy Spirit is the messenger from God to let us know that we are in Christ. He said, I will send you a comforter. I think that's John 16, isn't it? If I go back, I'll send you a comforter. And when he's come, now wait a minute. Who's he going to comfort? Not the world. When he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. Well, Lord, what do you mean a comforter if you're going to do that? Well, I'm comforting my people. Amen. They don't comfort them.
No.
See? I mean, when I got saved, I am still grateful that God put me under old-time Holy Ghost conviction.
Yeah.
I was, the night I knelt down in my knees, I was frightened because the Holy Spirit let me know in my heart. Now, I'd heard it in my ears all my life, but I didn't take it. But the Holy Spirit let me know in my heart, there's a hell and you're going there.
Yeah.
Man, I got desperate. I got desperate. And I don't have a cake recipe of how people get saved. You may not got saved like that. I don't know. But I prayed, God, give me faith to believe in you. And he did. Now, I believed in my head all my life. I was raised in a Baptist church. But I didn't believe in my heart. And Paul said, with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. See? So it's got to be in our heart, doesn't it?
Amen.
All right? Okay. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. I think a lot of times, many of us Baptist people, we strive over words, don't we?
Yeah.
Once in a while we do. If you'll sit down and talk about it, you really believe the same thing. But sometimes we strive over words, and we shouldn't do that. See, we ought to be able and not have an attitude where somebody knocks us out of the boat over some kind of word that they use. You know, maybe we hadn't heard it that way when we've grown up. So we see that way. Now, verse 15, I've got it underlined in my Bible, and I suspect some of you do too. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what are we to study? That's right. That's right. Again, don't let some daddy rabbit, tell you which way to go. And that's good doctrine. Now, I'm not being critical right here, but I need to say this. Right over here about a mile, they've got a Life Church. And there's 600 cars over there this morning. And they got some feller up there, and they even pipe it in on a TV. A big charismatic feller. And I talked to one lady that went there one day, and she said, oh, we go to Life Church. And I said, really? She said, oh, I really like it. I said, well, you ought to come to our church.
Come on.
But she let me know that she wasn't going to do it because she was really satisfied over there. Well, that tells me that she has not had any study of the Bible or anybody to preach to her about false doctrine.
Right.
See? Now, my old preacher used to say, and it stuck with me, more people is going to hell through religion than any other way. See, if the devil wanted to capture people, what would be a good way for him to do it? Wouldn't you think it'd be religion? Tell them people they're all right. I passed the Catholic church down here this morning about 8 o'clock. Parking lot was nearly full, and I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to Sunday morning mass, hurry up, eat their Jesus cookies, and go to the golf course or go fishing or something. And you know, that man down there's got them convinced that you might be all right. Of course, now, I think they preach purgatory, and you go there till we pray you out. So, what a shallow belief. I don't hate them people, but, man, I hate their doctrine. I mean, I'm telling you, they got a lot of people deceived. And they don't, most of them that I know, I know a few of them. They don't even live good lives. They're not even moral. So study to show thyself approved unto Jimmy Swagger. Is that what that said? Huh? Oh, I got the NIV. Show thyself, study to show thyself approved unto God. See? Unto God. Yes, that Bible will assure you if you belong to Him. Romans chapter 8 again. Romans chapter 8. I like it. See? And so, we study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God. See? Now, I'm not supposed to take my word and what I read in my study and be holier than thou. See, I'm just supposed to study and say, God, show me what you have me to, show me what you have me to learn here. And so, morning, Pastor.
Hey,
So we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me spend just a minute there. Rightly dividing the word. Now, when the word of God, even if it's read correctly, if it's not rightly divided, it will lead to heresy. That's what a lot of people is doing with the Bible. They're taking Old Testament terms and applying them to the New Testament. And it doesn't work. Now I believe that a preacher can take any of the parables and preach to present-day Gentiles a good message. But really, Jesus said He spoke parables to the Jews. And so He did not speak to the church in parables. No writer spoke to the church in parables. Now, they may have given an example here or there, but not in parables. See what I mean? But He spoke to Israel in parables. See? And so, one of the disciples asked Him one time, said, "Why do you speak to us in parables?" He said that seeing you might not see, and hearing you might not hear. See? Now, a parable is something that's comparable to a subject that someone is trying to clarify. See? And so the Lord used parables. He used a seed sower, sowed seed, and you know the story. It fell among thorns. It fell among stony ground. But some of it fell on good ground. See? And so we just sow, and we pray that God will let it fall on good ground.
Amen.
See? And that's what these brothers have been doing this week. They've been out there searching for ground. And I hope the good ground will come in here. Has to do it. That's true.
So we have to tell them in a manner where the word convicts them.
That's right.
There's a way that seems right unto man, and a man in his natural state just don't get it.
Right.
The word has to subvert him. It has to tear him down. It has to bring him into judgment.
Yep.
And the natural man. Only way, you know, and if we force that, then we become an offense. But when we do that in love, we let the Lord be the offense.
Right.
And He can convict them, you know. How many times you tell somebody something and they don't get it, but later on it comes to them, you know.
Right.
You know, when Stephen was preaching to Paul didn't get saved right there.
Right.
But lo and behold, a while later, even though Stephen sowed the word, God did the work, and then as he was going to Damascus, God smote him down.
That's right. That's right. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." Isn't that good?
Amen.
I like that last part. You like that last part?
I
will raise him up the last day.
Yes.
That's right. And another scripture right in there that I glory in when I read it is Jesus visiting Lazarus' grave when He came to Martha. Martha said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." That's right. Nobody died in Jesus' presence. But He stayed over there 4 days on purpose. And He told His disciples, said, "Well, let's go see Lazarus." Said, "He sleepeth." And they said, "Well, Lord, if he sleepeth, he doeth good." He said, "Lazarus is dead. Only believe." So they went over there, and I like what He told Martha. Martha said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother hadn't have died." He said, "Martha, I am the resurrection."
Amen.
She said, "I know you'll raise us in the last day." He said, "Martha, I am the resurrection, the life, And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So I tell people, and I believe it's right, we're not going to die. So, well, what if I'm here when the Lord comes? Well, you'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. That's the fastest part of your body there is. See? We'll just be changed. But if I'm in the grave or you're in the grave, well, he had a solution for that too, didn't he? We that remain alive shall not prevent them. So the Lord's going to bring all His people up with a new body. One fellow said, "What do I look like?" I said, "I don't know, but 1 John says we know that when He appears, we will be like Him." That's good enough for me.
Amen.
Good enough for me. Amen. Paul goes on in verse 16, says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." You know, as a Christian, there are some things that we need to shun. We need to shun things that people put forth that's falsely proclaimed. And we need to shun things that just gender to bad feelings. And you know, you can get into that if you allow yourself. Like Brother Tim said, we need to tell people what we got, our message, in love. In love. And I'm sure that you pastors understand this more than anybody else. But me and Sister Linda was raised under probably one of the roughest preachers that are in the pulpit. I mean, he called people by their name, but he did it in love.
Amen.
I mean, he preached about Camelites out of the pulpit,
yeah.
and that offended some people. But he'd come down out of there and got outside the door and meet them. "Hello, Joe, how are you? I'm sure glad to see you." And if they needed $5, he'd just give them $5. He said, "Don't worry about it." So there is a way that we present our message to people, and we present it with love. And that old man preached with love. He preached with love. He loved everybody. But he preached the truth. They asked him, said, "Would you preach so-and-so's funeral?" He said, "Well, yeah, if you want me to." He said, "Now listen," said, "I want you to preach this and this and this." He said, "Are you going to preach it or am I going to preach it?" He said, "If you're going to preach it, will you leave me out?" And that's just the way he felt about it. And, but anyway, I'm speaking to verse 16. "But shun profound and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." In other words, let's don't waste our time with vain babblings. Say, "Well, Brother Glenn, when I meet somebody, is it all right to say the weather's good or the weather's bad?" Yeah, it's fine. But that's not what we want to dwell on.
Yeah.
We need to dwell on a message that the Lord sent us with. See, I believe that's right. All right. He goes ahead and says, "And their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." So, I do not want to teach, secure the believer so fast and so steadfast that a believer's faith cannot be overthrown. Faith can be overthrown.
Yeah.
See? So, but that's what we're talking about this morning. See, study to show thyself approved unto God. If you will do that and do it prayerfully and do it regularly, it's not likely that your faith is going to be overthrown. I believe that's right. He's got these two fellows in here. I suppose they're preachers. It doesn't say. But so they taught that the resurrection is past already. Well, what if the resurrection is already past, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's what Paul said about it, wasn't it? He did say that. See? But the resurrection is not past. The resurrection is still before us. See? All right. So they will This increases unto more ungodliness. See, people fall; their faith is defeated, and it turns into ungodliness. Now, I think you can disagree with me. When you do not consider God in your life, you might be a Christian. You quit studying. You quit going to church. You quit praying. You are going to be defeated.
Right.
Your faith is going to be overthrown. See? Why? Because we have to... Peter said, I stir up your pure minds. Christians need their minds stirred up. We have to have that. See? That's why I come down to church. I come to church to be fed spiritually.
Amen.
I come to church to worship. I don't come to church necessarily just to have fellowship. Now, I like fellowship. But I come to church to worship. So I think that we need to understand here that this can happen and faith can be overthrown. So it don't mean you're lost.
That's right.
Just mean you quit for go. You quit. The old preachers used to say, you kick out of the harness. You kick out of the traces. So, okay. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Isn't that good? Foundation of God standeth sure. God's foundation. Paul said the foundation of God was Christ. And we shall be judged on how we build on that foundation. See? One preacher preached one time. I don't know, maybe you've heard it. But it was pretty amusing, I thought. He preached to a bunch of people at a Bible conference. He preached, his subject was, how big will your ash pile be at the judgment seat? I thought that was pretty serious thinking. See? Paul said it will be wood, hay, stubble, silver, gold, or precious stones. And I'm worried about the judgment seat myself. Like I said a while ago, well, aren't you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. But I'm going to be judged on my service. And I think that my Lord, my worship is toward Jesus Christ. My trust is toward Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about that, but I am worried about my service. I'm worried about my service. So, well, man, you show up every Sunday, you do this. I know it, but you're not the judge. He's the judge. Is my motive right? Is my motive right? Is my love where it ought to be? See? And I've met Christians and they don't take the judgment seat very serious. Oh, I'm going to make it. I said, yeah, but you've got to stop before you make it. See? And Paul just told us three times we're going to have one. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5. So if he told us three times, I think that's pretty important, don't you?
Amen.
All right. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, and the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See? And young Christians need to be taught that. I know the Holy Spirit leads you to quit some stuff, but they still need to be taught.
Amen.
They still need to be taught. See? I believe that. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. See, I was just talking about wood, hay, and stubble. So I think we need to be careful there. I think we need to be real careful. Lord, is my motive right? Is my motive toward that preacher right? Is my motive toward that brother right? See, God knows. He knows. All right? If a man, therefore, purge himself from these,
See, he's talking about purging now. What's purging mean? Huh? It means get rid of. Doesn't it? The man therefore purge himself of these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. See, now remember, Paul is talking to Timothy. He's telling him to have a good, I think he's telling him how to appear at the judgment seat in good shape. I think that's what he's saying. See? Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, in our day and time, our generation, we got a problem with people. I think we got a problem with people with a pure heart. I meet people all the time, and, you know, and they, if they got some kind of religion, well, they're clinging to some kind of good works or water baptism or wafers that somebody puts on their tongue. And, you know, that's not a pure heart. They don't have a pure heart with that. And I asked them, I've asked a few of them, are you saved? Well, yeah, the preacher said I was. Well, you meet them all the time now. Hey, are you saved? Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what I ask them? What are you saved from? They don't know. I'm just saved. We talk it down at church. I'm just saved. See? Let me tell you what I'm saved from. The wrath to come.
Amen.
The wrath to come. That's what John the Baptist told them to flee from, wasn't it? Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? So, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, we kind of got to watch it there when we think that we're a big shot teacher, a big shot singer, or even a big shot preacher. Got to kind of watch it there that we don't gender some strife. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right? See? The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Now listen, sometimes it's kind of hard to be gentle to some men, isn't it? Huh? Come on now. Sometimes it's kind of hard to be gentle to all men. See? Out to teach patient. Boy, I need patience. I need patience. Amen. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. See? That's our witnessing. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, Paul said, Timothy, I don't guarantee you that God will save everybody you preach to. I don't guarantee you. But peradventure, God will give them. See, the gift of God is His calling. You wouldn't have got saved if God hadn't called you. You might have walked the aisle and cried a little bit. But no man comes to the Father except by me. See? And so we see here that's what he's talking about. God peradventure give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And they are. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. See? He has all men captive. And people have a hard time with depravity. They do have a hard time. I mean, a man on the street knows nothing about depravity. One fellow said, well, I'm saved. God loves me. And I said, how do you know? Well, God's love. Don't the Bible say God is love? I said, it does. But I said, the Bible says some more things, too. It says to flee the wrath of God. Well, God's a good God. He wouldn't send me to hell. I said, are you sure?
Are you sure? I said, and I like what one preacher said. He said, the wrath of God is God's holiness responding to sin. God does love the world. He told the world He loved us when He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us. And He's not going to get down off the throne and put up with sin to let anybody go to heaven. See, and this love bunch of people, they just say, God loves me, God loves me. You know, even if I got bad morals and I don't ever want to go to church, God loves me. Well, God loves you enough to send you the gospel. Then it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? Like Paul said, if God peradventure will give you a will to the acknowledging of the truth. All right, I'm out of time. Anybody got a comment? Okay.